Once D-Day had been successfully completed, VE Day was inevitable. I was born just after the Second World War's end, but the war cast a long shadow over my early childhood. I remember rationing, going with my mother with ration cards to the shops. I remember that my father used to do the gardening dressed in his military clothing. I remember the cracks in window panes caused by bombs that had dropped around my home. My understanding then was very simple. Typical of a boy growing up, the British were the good guys, the Germans were the bad guys. But I've learnt to remember with gratitude all of those who died and fought, not just those citizens of these British Isles, but those of the Commonwealth, and those who had escaped Nazi rule in Germany. And not just the Christians, but Jews and Sikhs, Hindus, Muslims, people of many faiths and none. There were also innocent conscripts and citizens in Germany who also suffered and died. Who do we remember? We remember those who fought to bring liberation to a subjugated people and did so at very great cost. Why do we remember? As Christians, we're all used to remembering. Every week in churches such as this, we remember the one person who died for us all. We remember Jesus not just to dwell in the past, not just in sorrow, though certainly grief and sorrow is part of it. But more importantly, we remember that our response to the love of God shows us in the death of Christ what it is to be reinvigorated for the future, for the tasks of changing our lives, changing our community, and changing our world by transforming it for the better through the love of Christ. In our Bible readings, we hear Job's words. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. And then Jesus' words to the disbelieving Sadducees. The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die. For they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. In the Eucharist, in bread and wine, we not only remember Christ's death upon the cross, but his resurrection and the empowering of his church at Pentecost through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Once the crucifixion and resurrection had taken place, God's final victory over death and evil was assured. And we can say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And be assured that in Christ we are children of the resurrection and can no longer die. As with D-Day, which was inevitably followed by VE Day, for us here today, the decisive battle took place on the cross. And we are assured of the final victory in Christ, as we place our lives into his hands. We read in his first letter to the church at Corinth what Paul has to say about this. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your power to hurt? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We stand to sing hymn number 148, For All the Saints Who From Their Labors Rest.